Good morning. Welcome to the FTS bet slip on Thursday, the 9th of April. I think I've got the day and date right for the best part of a week now. It's an achievement. Right, what's been happening? Well, we've got... Who was it? One of you yesterday put all this podcast... Obviously, thank Gary coming on, and Gary and Suggsy, yes, they're both down south, despite Gary's... love of that flipping team up north. Something wrong with him. And then somebody said, what the podcast needs is some northern accents. Well, is it now? Is that what it needs? Hooray, aye, our kid. Why, aye, man, why, aye. I wonder what it's like down in the valley, see? Oh, I wonder how them jocks are getting on. There, we do all the accents. I've got all the accents, all the best accents. We can do them all, and nobody understands a word of them, so we'll leave it as it is. I love the north. I love it. I love going up north. The best thing about it is the fucking road south. There you go. No, we have got, what have we got? Next week we've got Betty Blogger. I think he's from the northern area of the country. And then we're going to have Kevin Kelly's wife. She's from southern. And then we're going to have Sam on. And he's from Liverpool, Southport, somewhere around there. You don't know, actually. Sam Cassidy, you're on the podcast in 3 weeks' time. There, just letting you know. So it'll mix around, don't worry. My little northern gravy drinking people will be there, don't worry. Just sit dipping your flipping chips in your gravy, eating your pies, and we will get to you. First time yesterday, Sam said last night, 25 days we've been here now, and I could tell it's been straining on her. I know she's feeling it, as I'm sure many of you are, particularly with kids and things, if you're there. You know, I'm very matter of fact with these things. We've got to crack on. We are getting there. I was just talking to the guys this morning on different things. I don't get this need to obsess over a daily death rate. It tells you nothing. Amazing how you can sort of put things into what you do. It's exactly the same for me. I mean, the Department of Health have got a Twitter feed. They tweet out the stats every day, and they say they'll do it at 2 o'clock. And they quite often will put. Last time I looked was Saturday, and they put on Saturday. I think it was Saturday. Might have been earlier in the week. That they weren't ready yet, and they'll have the figures, you know, we'll publish them later this afternoon, so they didn't hit their 2 o'clock time. And you read the replies from, like, Joe Public. Oh, fucking hell, what's going on? We need to know. Why do you need to know? It's like, why do you need to know whether a bet's won and lost? What we need to know is in 2-3 weeks' time, are we getting on top of things? Have a look in. Leave it to the scientists. They're the ones who need the numbers. You sitting in your fucking armchair, you don't need to know anything about it. It's not going to change your life in the slightest, whether it's 842 or 999. It really isn't going to make a fucking blind bit of difference to you. In 2-3 weeks' time, if we do as we're told, we will start to see the curve flattening, and then they'll start telling us what the next part of it is. I do not get this obsessing. It's like people obsessing over one bet. Oh, that bet lost. Oh, fucking hell. There. I just don't get it. You read the reply. Fucking ridiculous. Oh, you're not there at 2 o'clock. Fucking hell. What's going on? Get a fucking grip. We have got to do what we've got to do. And that's where you've got to put your focus. There's no point putting your focus on death figures and how many days you've been indoors. It's not achieving anything. Crack on, fill your time. Books, games, cooking, walk, dance, sing, play, write a diary, FaceTime your friends and family, set up house party and play games over there. There's so many things you can do. Plan for your life, set your goals. There's so many things that you can do. What are you going to do when this is over? To take it away. And all we've got to hope is that the majority stick to it, which is becoming problematic. You know, reports, again, the guys, similar to me, you go to the supermarket and just cretins. Got to tell these people. I'm sorry, we got to the stage. You don't want social disorder, but you've got to tell these people. And any of you listening in Devon and Cornwall, if any grockles coming down this afternoon, just tell them to fuck off over this weekend. If you see them out there, tell them to fuck off back to where they come from. They're not welcome. It's disgusting. Disgusting scenes on the M5 yesterday, apparently, with caravans. Well, people, what are they going to do when they get there? Fucking take my caravan down. Fucking fuck off. You're not meant to be doing it. And I think even in, I saw a picture this morning, Ireland. I don't know the roads in Ireland. I think it was the N11. My Irish listeners will know their cars head into Wicklow, Wexford, places like that. Again, tell them to fuck off. You're not welcome. Fuck off. Go back home and we can all get this over quicker. That is the problem with it. And it cracks me up. Then we see reports of Singapore where they're fining people 10,000, but they've only had 6 deaths. You know, it's a small place. Taking away our civil liberties. No, we're not. We're not doing anything. This is a fucking one-off thing. Nobody's trying to take anybody's civil liberty. We want to get on top of it and get back to normal life. And we don't while your selfish fuckers think sunbathing's something to fucking do. Fuck off, you fucking cretins. Honestly. And you've got to tell them. If you go shopping, there's people fucking breaking the rules. Don't be fucking scared to tell them. It's the only way we're going to fucking solve this situation. Too many fucking bellends around. Right, see, I'm off again and I get revved up, don't I? Fucking wankers. Right, lots of things to go to today. So a poll on Twitter yesterday got me thinking. The guy went on and posted loads and I lost interest, but the one was the best right back to ever play for Spurs. And we haven't had many. I settled on Danny Thomas, who was a fantastic little player, but a lot of people were speaking, were putting Stephen Carr, and whenever I see his name, it reminds me of a story. I'm sure I've told it on this pod. I used to play a lot of golf with Casey Keller. I played with him from his Millwall days, and then obviously he moved to Spurs. But fantastic. So strong he was. He hit the ball fucking miles. Only drove off with a 5-wood, but he hit it absolutely miles. Fucking strong guy he was. And a really nice guy. And he moved to Spurs, didn't play much. And when you talk about wages, actually, I remember going around his house. He had a house in Muswell Hill. I remember going around his house, sitting having a coffee in the kitchen with his wife and him. And he wasn't playing. And I said about... I never in my head, just things that you don't really think about, never in my head I thought, why don't you move somewhere where you'll play? Why are you happy sitting on the bench? And he was paid at Leicester, he was paid something like £4,000 a week. And at Spurs he was on 15 grand a week. And he was very honest about it. He said, Ian, he said, I earn 15 grand a week. I'm not going to get that anywhere else. It's a short career. I enjoy the training and that. It's a great club. I'll keep working hard and maybe I'll get my chance. So he was happy to sit on the bench for the 15 grand. And it was a money thing. You know, he wouldn't have got anywhere near that going elsewhere. So when people say, but he was very honest about it. And to be fair to him, he did work hard. And Neil Sullivan, Spurs had signed, I think, the record for a goalkeeper at the time. Certainly good fee for him. And he did eventually elbow Sullivan out and got the starting spot. Fair play to him. So I used to go and watch, obviously. I'd play golf with him sort of once a fortnight, maybe once a week even. And I used to watch him. I used to deliberately, I'm sure I have told this, but that's one of the problems with the podcast. People ask me for stories. I think, well, I've done that. I don't want to bore you all. But I used to watch him boot the ball out all the time. It used to drive me fucking bananas. And then I'd play golf with him and I thought, I can't say it. I very rarely talked about Spurs because I just didn't think it was fair. But then I think we'd got beat and I just had enough of it. And I said, why do you keep fucking just booting the ball up? Because all that's happening, it's going up and then it's coming back. And he said to me, and I'll never ever forget it. He said, which one of them fuckers, Ian, would you give it to? He said, if Ledley King's not playing, which one of them back four would you fucking give it to? And I suddenly thought about it, and he went, take Stephen Carr as an example, and that's the name he mentioned. He said, take Stephen Carr as an example. He said, I roll it out to him. He said, he puts his head down, he runs in a straight line until he goes out of bounds. And Anthony Gardner, I think, was a centre-back at the time. He said, he can't play football. So you then go and watch it with a different set of eyes because he told me that, so I'm now looking for it. And he was right. They were fucking useless. Absolutely useless. People who think Stephen Carr was our best right back, you're fucking mad. He was absolute fucking rubbish, running a straight line out of bounds. Could have done so much better. So, yeah, I'm sick of another thing I'm getting annoyed at. BT and Sky acting as if football only started in 1993. Everything you see is name the best Premier this, what's the best Premier. What about the fucking football before that? Trying to wipe out like the 100-odd years of history of football that happened before that. What about the great Ipswich team of 78 in the early 80s? Villa winning the league and the European Cup, which was amazing at the time. Gary Shaw, Peter With, Tony Morley. Tottenham early 80s, FA Cups, you know, fantastic FA Cup, Villa's goal. 84 UEFA Cup. Forest, brilliant. Forest, you know, why aren't we showing that? Forest winning 2 European Cups. That's, you know, I developed a real love for Forest in that period. I was a Spurs fan, but I've got a real soft spot for Forest, which grew over that period of them being league champions, winning FA Cups. Cluffy, I mean, I just love Cluffy. Those of you, if you're looking for a film to watch, The Damned United, there you are. That's a film I've watched. Don't they love BT and that? They just act as if it's fucking the Premier League and that's it, nothing else matters. Fucking let them know, email, tell them, Twitter them, say, what about some fucking football pre-Premier League? It did exist, you know, it fucking annoys me. And it is that thinking, I'm talking again of someone, it's that sort of this sky and that, that's why it'll all go back to normal. I know the players have now clubbed together and done it. I feel they've been forced into it. I don't necessarily agree with it when we're not going after hedge fund managers publicly and other things like that. I think they're easy targets. But the game's fucked, isn't it? The game is absolutely, the one thing this has shown, it is absolutely fucked. The money they earn, the Premier League in particular, it's all just about how much money can they get for their product. They're like a Google and Amazon all going on. And they want to dominate. And the old missus coming in there. She wanted to steal the recipe of the day. I haven't done it yet. Just flipping, trying to nick it. What's going on here? I've been pod bombed. Where was I? Premier League, it's all about, isn't it? These, you know, everything's become a global giant, isn't it? Amazon, Google. I mean, I read the other day, Google employees, that the average wage of a Google employee is $234,000. I don't know whether it was dollars or pounds. The average. It's a fucking staggering amount of money for an average wage for a company, isn't it? I mean, what do Facebook and that peddling all their fucking fake news and bollocks they allow on there, what do they earn? But it's all about make as many billions as possible. Very little regard for the rest of us, and I think that's how it will return. I do, you know, I know people are stamping up and when it all changes, but I just think it will go back, football won't change. That's my view, but you know, it is about more football. Is certainly those days, I loved football back in the sort of early 80s, late 80s, early 90s, even early 80s, a bit younger, but just loved it. But I don't get anything like the joy of it now. Old Tottenham continue to be a shit fest, didn't they? The furlough and then fucking Jose's out training players on some common, Barnet Common or somewhere, wasn't it? What the fuck is going on? Honestly, it's fucking ridiculous. What a shit fest of a football club I support, honestly. You couldn't fucking make it up. How to fucking win friends and influence people, that club is absolute fucking shit fest. I really am considering whether I go back or not. They've fucking been a massive part of my life, but what a fucking shithole of a club they are. Let's have a training session up there. Fucking idiots. What else happened? Sam was watching, she was watching a documentary. I don't know where this started getting her down. Watching a documentary. We don't eat takeaway food very rarely. There's a documentary on BBC iPlayer about takeaway food she was watching. Flipping looked horrific. Making these people eat takeaways, 14-2 a day for 14 days. The stuff it does to your body. I wasn't really paying full attention, but I certainly heard fat levels going up and lack of sleep and all sorts being mentioned. Disturbing. Be careful what you eat. Buy some ingredients. Cook the flipping stuff, I tell you. Recipe of the day coming up right now. Let's do it. Then she can have her little book here. These are lovely. We actually make these again quite rarely. She makes these and takes them into the RSPCA to give it all the staff for lunch. We're going to make a little lunchtime snack, a pasty, a cheese, leek, and onion pasty. So we want, this is going to make 8 pasties, 400 grams of Maris Piper potatoes, cut them into chunks, about 2 centimetres. Obviously you want a pan of cold water and salt to boil them in. Half a vegetable stock cube, 350 grams, which is about 2 medium to large leeks, cut them into slices, an onion. You want some premium white bread mix, plain flour, 100 grams minimum of cheese, because you want your cheese for, and you know, vegetarian cheese for those of you who want the veggie options, tablespoon of milk, and some freshly ground pepper. Okay, so we're going to put the potatoes in the pan of water and crumble in the vegetable stock cube and boil them for 5 minutes. Then add the leek and onion to that pan and bring that up and cook it for another 8 minutes boiling until all the vegetables are tender and the liquid has started to go down. Use 300 ml of water and it will start to evaporate. Stir that regularly towards the end of the cooking so that it doesn't stick to the pan, but you want that liquid to reduce right down. When that's done, just remove the pan and let it start to cool down, and then you can make the pastry. So get your premium, your white bread mix, whatever it is, and make that. Just you follow the packet instructions. That's all we do, is use that and follow the packet instructions, but use a bread mix, not a pastry mix. They're healthier for you than the pastry, so these are sort of healthier ones. So a 500 gram white bread mix, and just make that as according to the patterns. Use the plain flour for rolling it out, and that's what that's for, so it doesn't stick, and roll it into 8 medium sized balls when you've done that. Then once you've done that, so you've got 8 balls all the same size, roll each ball out so they make a circle about half a ruler across, 15 to 18 centimeters if your kids have got a school ruler there. Turn it over a couple of times as you're rolling, just so you get a nice flour on both sides, even it out. And then it doesn't have to be precise size, roughly. And then get the cheese and stir that into the vegetable mix. So grate the cheese, stir that in with your vegetables, which have cooled down a bit now. Grate some salt and pepper in there. Get the oven topped up. Now get your filling and break that into 8 even sized portions. So it's best to get a couple of plates, and what we do is just put them in like 4 little portions on each plate. Portion them out before you start putting them in the pastry, because what happens is you'll start scooping it in thinking you've got to fill it, and by the time you get to the last one you'll only have a tiny bit left. So make 8 little portions up. Once you've done that, portion into the middle of your bread mix pastry cases. Fold them over as you would and do the crimping. You can brush the sides with the milk, just to give you a little teaspoon of milk. Brush the sides with the milk just to help glue it down, and then brush the top as well, just to give them a bit of a shiny top. You can mix some egg yolk in with that as well and do it that way. Just crimp them down. Put them on a baking tray, which you have buttered, and dust it with flour as well. And you probably need a couple. Whack them in the oven and bake them for about 15 minutes. Then take them out, cover them with foil, because you don't want to keep the burn in the outside and we want the middle to cook. So take them out, cover them with foil, and cook them for about another 10 minutes. Oven on about 200. You can then have them warm or cold. There you go. There's a bit of effort involved in those ones, but another good thing to make with the kids, and they are really nice, lovely to eat. Cheese, leek and onion pasties. There, get it written down, get on with it. Right, she can come and flip in photo bomb for the old recipe now. I think she's obviously going to be making some. Beautiful. A nice recipe from you, Dio, last night. Did look good, that. I liked it. I did like the look of it. Very good indeed. Just shows, you see, make a bit of effort. You need to. We found your kryptonite, son, though. The old mushrooms, haven't we? We found your kryptonite mushrooms. Beautiful. So versatile. So many different types. How can you not like mushrooms? My boy doesn't like mushrooms. Don't like mushrooms. And then for his, I think it was his 16th birthday or his 18th birthday, I can't remember, we took him to Gordon Ramsay's, did the tasting menu, 7 course tasting menu. If you get the chance to go there, it is fantastic. Honestly, it is absolutely superb. I've probably said this before, it's an experience. It's not a meal out, it's an absolute experience. But yeah, they bring out a mushroom course and he eats it. I said, what the fuck's all that about? You don't like mushrooms. Oh yeah, but you didn't cook these ones, Gordon Ramsay did. It wasn't Gordon Ramsay, it was Claire Smythe. I went, oh, that's all right then. So I said, so mushrooms are shit. Don't like mushrooms unless a Michelin star chef's cooking them. Then they're suddenly all right. Oh, old shit, honestly. Right, what else? A couple of people have asked me, and I've done this, been talking to a few people over Zoom and Skype over this last week or so. But I've had a few emails about pod topics. One is about positive views on gambling, which I will take, as opposed to all the negative press that we get. People asking for my story. Obviously, I think some people would like to hear some of the stories of the past. I don't do a lot of this stuff because I have done it. I mean, my story, I think, was back last March. I've told the stories about Jethro, my mate on the train. I forget a lot of what I've said on here, I'll be honest, because I don't script it. You know, I do. I move on, and next week it'll be something else. Like, that's how I end up forgetting all the Vegas story. I just forget. Have I told you the one about the Jewish guy in Vegas? I'll tell you this one. This is brilliant. Sam had gone upstairs. It was the first time we took Jack. And Jack, he wasn't old enough. You got to be 21 to be on the gambling floor. So we'd gone with Sam's sister, and both the kids were about the same. They're about 13, 14. And we went in the summer so we could go outside, and we, you know, we're going to do the fun rides, the circus. Anyway, Sam had gone upstairs. We were going out, and she'd forgotten something and gone upstairs. So she'd gone up and taken Jack with her, so he wasn't on the casino floor, and I was just hanging around down there having a cigarette. I thought, I'll just wait and have a cigarette. So I stuck $100 in a slot. I thought, I'll play this while I'm waiting. And a guy comes and taps me on the shoulder. Real sort of deep New Yorkish type accent. Oh, mate, like that. Real sort of growly, grusky voice. Mate, you want to do this? You want to play this one over here? So he kept pointing at this machine. He wouldn't leave me alone. You want to play this one? I've put a load of money in here. You want to play this one? And then the other, I'll just fucking play it. I'll just play this to get him away from me. So I went, bucket of coins then, it wasn't tickets. So I emptied it out, bucket of coins, scooped him in over. I'm scooping the coins in. He's talking to me, and I'm one of them, fuck off, mate, you know, just leave me alone. But making small talk, saying as little as possible. And he went, England? You're from England? I went, yeah. He went, you like your drugs out there, don't you? You like your drugs? I went, hey? He said, well, and I'm very naive on drugs. I know fuck all about drugs. I really do. I've never taken a drug in my life. I've drunk, smoked, but I've never ever taken. I wouldn't even know what it entails, genuinely. Got no interest in it whatsoever. So I said, oh, mate. He said, oh, yeah, you love your Charlie, and all this. And he went, he said, but like hearing it. He said, you're fucking run by Jews, aren't you? Fucking run by Jews. Oh, hang on a minute, Matt. I said, what are you on about? He said, they're fucking taking over, they're running. And with that, Jack had come down, and Jack had sprinted from, like kids do, sprinted from the elevator, didn't want to be with his mum, come and see his dad. So he sort of comes up, this guy's going, and me and this guy now having a Barney. I went, you've got to be fucking careful. You say that sort of stuff to mate. I said, you're saying it to me, I'll just shrug it. I said, you say that to the wrong person, they're going to fucking whack you. And my boy's like, first time in Vegas, scared of being on the casino floor. He's looking, thinking it's all going to kick off. Fucking another strange old character that was. I don't know why that story just came to me, but that was true. Where was I going? Yeah, story. So if people do want to hear anything again, rather than me go back and find the episodes, because I don't know when I said what, I genuinely don't. But if people want to hear things again, or they want more stories or topics covered, let me know. Don't be scared. Tell me, either tweet me or put it on, email me, and I'll put it in. We've got podcasts every day. I can talk for 5 hours if you like. We're not, none of you are going anywhere. You will listen. Sit down. Nobody leave. I can keep you going. Don't worry about it. So what have I done now? I lose my train, don't I? What haven't we done? We've done a recipe, haven't we? We've done a recipe. The Masters quiz is up. We've got the Masters quiz. So it's www.ftsincome.co.uk. /masters-quiz-part- and then today the number 4. If you change that number to either 1, 2, or 3, you can do the first 3 days if you miss. I'm only giving prizes to the people who do 7 days. You've got to do all 7 days. Yeah, not having anybody just coming in thinking they've got 5 right and sodding off. All 7 days. They've got a little bit harder today, I think. www.ftsincome.co.uk/masters-quiz-part- today is number 4. If you want numbers 3, 2, or 1, just change the number at the end. Put your answers in. Don't cheat. Don't use Google. So there's that. Joke of the day. Joke of the day comes from somebody whose name I didn't put down, so I've no idea. But we'll use it. Lee, I think it is Lee. I've got a few Lees though. I can't remember which one, but there we go. But I just plucked this one out this morning. Nonsense. nonsense. None of you got them rolling in the eyes like me. I see you all trying on Twitter, all trying to steal my thunder. Got nothing about you. I bought myself some Viagra tea bags the other day. Sex life is still shit, but my biscuits stay hard. Boom, boom. Yeah, that's a Basil Brush type thing, isn't it, that one? There you go. That's it. Fat fucker who I play poker with. I'm going to start stories on him. See, where do I go from the joke? I'll go from Vegas to the joke to that. It's all over the place, isn't it? He was the one who started off, this fat fucker, back in January, saying this was all a Chinese hoax. And he's convinced himself it was intentional. Does seem a bit of stretch to me. I certainly don't trust the numbers out of China, but I'm sure we'll find out more when it's all over and there'll be numerous inquiries, but I'm not certain that the Chinese set about trying to completely and utterly cripple the world, and the fact that their own country is probably going to have a second wave. Another one, he kept telling the world he was fucking good at everything. Full on NRA boy. We'll get to him. We will get to him. All over the shop, haven't we? Where have I done? Book of the day. Oh no, book of the day. Book of the day. Where's the book of the day? Let me find it. All right, book of the day. Good book, this. I really like this book. It is, I've got it here on Amazon. It is The Motivation Myth: How High Achievers Really Set Themselves Up to Win. Really good, really good book. I think, and again, I talk to people about punting side. Lots of people are motivated or want to be motivated, but it's actually what is motivation? As I always say, it's about a process, and just saying I'm motivated and I'm going to do this in words doesn't actually achieve anything. So it actually looks at what is motivation and the motivation process, how that leads. Then you take that through to not being motivated, but to achieving. And as I say it often with punting, you know, many people have, when if I speak to people, what's your goal, what's your motivation, I want to earn money, I want to this, that and the other. Very people say to me, I want to learn the process. And punting is about a process. The winning bet, losing bet, profit, loss, don't actually get considered by me over time. It's the process that that bothers me, and with most people it's always the winning bet that matters, or the losing bet. Somebody else's fault, can't win, the mathematicians say you can't win, getting back to that, so it's all BS, and that's where you end up. So the book focuses on the process of motivation. And the process in everything for me is the key. You know, if I follow a recipe, I drive Sam mad. I follow it to the letter. She likes to tinker and throw other bits in and doesn't weigh anything. She loves all that, but I'm one of them that if that's somebody's written that down, why do you want to fuck about with it? You know, and I tell, again, betting, you'll hear me often say that I have a reason not to have a bet when I'm making videos. I made videos about systems, I've made videos showing data, I've made a video on inaccurate data. The inaccurate data for me is the most important one, because if that's fucked, nothing else, the rest are fucking irrelevant. Hardly anybody's watched the inaccurate data one, but they've all watched, oh, has he given a system in this one, that's it. And I see the numbers. Make one on a system, 500-700 people watch it. Make one on data, me and my dog are watching it. It's just interesting for me that most people aren't interested in the process at all. You're interested, you want to bet, you want to win money, you couldn't really give a fuck how it happens. Whereas I look at it as a process. I use my sheets just as much to remove bets and to get rid of things as I do to use them to find trades. So, you know, we find a period now while the trading army, and I've seen it already all over, I think even Dio made a reference to it, Nicaragua and esports, ping pong, whatever, while all the trading army and marketers are moving towards that. I'm perfectly comfortable sat back here going through my process, making it better, improving it, making it quicker, analysing everything, so that when we do get back to normality, I will be set up, and it'll be awesome. It'll be, as in the words of the great Donald, we'll be doing, with at the minute we're doing great work. We're doing, me, Suggsy, Scott, you know, we've had Art, Alistair, Steve, loads of people help me. We're doing great work, great work. It'll be awesome. But it'll be when it comes up, and I will be hitting the ground running and flying rather than looking at what's happening in Nicaragua tonight. So that's that. Right, done the Masters. What else haven't I done? Oh, there's got to be something. Oh, stat of the day. I've done stat of the day. Oh, and poker. Right, yes, I've mentioned, and I've put this on Twitter. Let me talk you through this. I need to fire it up. Hold on a second. And now we got a bit of fun. Bear with me. I have set a poker club and poker tournament up on PokerStars. Basically, it's called a home game. So we're playing in amongst each other. We're not playing the PokerStars people. We're playing in amongst each other. So there is a club, and the club number, you would go to PokerStars, you need to download the software. So you literally, if you Google PokerStars, download the software, set yourself up a username and register. And then when you open the software, down the bottom right, there's three dots that say more. If you click that, there's a section that called home games, and in there you can join a poker club. The club number is 3416895, 3416895, and it will then give you an invitation code, which is FTS income, with the FTS and I of income all being capital, FTS income, and that will join you in the club. You can then, once you're in the club, go to the club lobby, and if you go to the games area, there is a game set up, a tournament set up, and I think a few of you have done this, and not, I think it says manage games or whatever, or join games, join tournament. I'm looking at the admin page, but you'll have something like that. You need to register for the game. It is £11. £1 goes to PokerStars for their admin of running it. Obviously, we're using their software. And the £10 will go into the prize fund. And 15% of the people will win a prize. So the top 15%, that money will get broken down. All those tenors. I don't get anything out of it. So it is club number 3416895. But you must register for the tournament, which is on Friday night at 7:15. If you join the club and don't register for the tournament, you won't be playing. So you must go on and register for the tournament. The tournament is called FTS Lockdown 1. FTS Income, sorry, Lockdown 1, that is the name of the tournament, £11, as I say, we've got 11 players registered at the moment, so somebody's going to win about 50 quid if it stays like that. I'm playing, Sam's playing, you can play on the same IP address because it's a home game and we're not trying to fleece anybody. You all start with the same chips, 3,000. It's just a bit of fun. You can chat, use the chat box, talk at the table. I did say to Sam, made me laugh last night, sitting out, and she went, oh, you better let them know on the podcast that there's no funny business, me and you. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, like, because we'll both be in the same room. I said, well, we won't. I said, I'll go and sit upstairs, you down here. I said, it doesn't matter, does it? I said, and even if we were, I said, we're not going to cheat, are we? She said, no, but you better let them know. There'd be no funny business. I can tell you, good people, there's not been any funny business in our house for a long while. Well, there you go. So that's the poker. So PokerStars, download the software, set yourself up, register. The club number is 3416895. But when you've joined that club, I do have to approve you. So I'll check periodically, and I'll check more tomorrow evening as we get closer. I approve you. Once you're approved, then you can, you must register for the tournament, and that's when you, in effect, they deduct £11 from your balance, and you're in, and that will just be logged on 7:15 tomorrow, and the competition will start, and we'll have a bit of fun. And I will, when I see the numbers and what's involved and what prize money we've got, I will put up a bounty for the person that knocks me out. Unless it happens to be my missus, and then I might knock her out. Probably shouldn't say that in this day and age with what's going on with people being locked in. A little banter. Never. She's a lovely girl, but if she beats me at poker, oh, fucking hell. Right, what else haven't we got? Stat of the day. Easy, this one. French League One. I'm going to give you four teams, French League One, to get involved with, and this is just another way, again, to get you looking at things differently. punting. So this is just a stat of the day. I mentioned ages ago on the pod about St Etienne first half goals. Good teams to get involved in French League One. If it's 0-0, 20 to 25 minutes. Prices haven't caught up with these four teams yet. Nice, St Etienne, Metz and Marseille. So Nice, St Etienne, Metz, Marseille, 0-0, 20, 25 minutes. Start looking at the first half goal market. Games that you are still getting in cheap at the moment. Pretty much doesn't matter who they're playing, but do your research before the game. Obviously, if they're playing Paris Saint-Germain, that is the team that distorts everything in that league. But then it might get you thinking, those of you who've got the sheets, to look at other leagues and other teams and find something a little bit different. So stat of the day, good teams to get involved. French League One, first half goal, 20, 25 minutes. St Etienne, Nice, Metz and Marseille. If you had bet them over the last few years, you'd have a nice 25, 30 points profit just betting that those four teams backing over 0.5 first half goals, 20, 25 minutes in. But I give you these stats to try and look at other things. I haven't made the horse videos yet. I have been really busy. It's not a matter of sitting here. Just got loads going on at the minute. Doing sorting out trainings and videos and stuff like that. I will make some. And people have asked, could I have racing stats of the day? I don't see why not. We're going to have another, 50-odd days of this minimum. So I will, when I get to do the racing videos, I'll dig out some racing stats and we can have some racing stats of the day. It isn't all about the Fußball. Right, I think that's it. I do think that's it. Do I think that's it? Have I got anything else? I can't even see. I can't even remember what I've covered now. I've done a recipe, done the Viagra joke, I've done my eye horse about the Premier League, I've done my eye horse about the roads. Devon, Cornwall, get up, get the barricades up, send them fucking back. I've done my northern accent, superb. I've done the stat, slagged Spurs off, done the book. We're all done, aren't we? We're all done. Masters quiz, don't forget. Master, two things for you guys. Masters and poker. Masters, poker and topics. If anything anybody wants to discuss, let me know. We will have a guest every week and that leads to other things. As I say, so next week it is Betty Blogger. Week after, the wife of a FTS member. I quite like that. I quite like that idea. I like the perspective that we'll get from that. And then Sam Cassidy up north with your little Liverpool accent, giving it some... perhaps we can put that through some sort of translator before we publish it. Amy old fruit. Right, have a lovely Thursday. If you see these numpties out fucking disobeying it, tell them. Can be polite about it. Excuse me, do you realise you shouldn't be doing that? Or, oi, fuckhead, fucking pack it in. Whichever option, I'll leave it to you. Right, have a lovely Thursday. I'll be back with you tomorrow morning.